Good morning, church. As many of you know by now, the coronavirus situation has affected many of you and much of our society. Many of our jobs and schedules and plans have been impacted in a way that really seemed impossible a few months ago, nearly impossible. There's this illusion of control that we grip tightly to as people, and it's being shown to be just that. It's an illusion. We're not as in control as we would like to believe. And if we're honest, this is troubling to us. And we see this kind of flesh itself out in times like these. In speaking to different people in our community, it's clear that there are some people who view this issue with different perspectives. Some people want to take the utmost precautionary measures to make sure that we handle this in the right way. Others think that this will blow over soon and that it's not that big of a deal. But whatever your position is in how you're thinking about the situation, I just want to encourage us to be committed to unity, that we would seek to understand each other. Let's not allow this situation to divide us, but let's come alongside each other and let's unite around the Lord and His mission. Let's not lose sight of who we are as God's people. We are the people of God. We are the salt of the earth, Jesus said. And so this is really a time not for us to shrink back, but it's a time for us to rise up and to say, Lord, what do you want to do in the life of our church? With that said, I want to talk about what our plan is as a church for the days ahead. As a leadership, we're taking this matter very seriously. We don't want to be fearful. We don't want to be foolish, but we want to be faithful to love and shepherd God's people in this time in the right way. And so leadership is monitoring the situation closely. We're taking precautionary measures to make sure that we're loving our neighbors and the most vulnerable in our community and in our church, which is why we've decided to hold off meeting at our Sunday worship gatherings for the next few weeks, as well as all other ministry meetings throughout the week. The only exception being the prayer meeting, which will be on Wednesdays at the church at 7:30 p.m. And so this is how we're going to operate for the next few months. Few weeks. You never know, it could be a few months. But we'll reassess the situation at the end of the month. We'll talk about it. We'll be praying about what God would have us do. And then we'll go from there. In the meantime, we'll have the Sunday sermon available to listen to online. I would encourage you all to track with us on that. There's going to be better content out there, and I would encourage you to listen to that as well. But I think it's important, just in light of us being a church, to stay united. Just one of the things that can help unite us. I want to encourage you to listen to some other people as well, some other pastors that have really blessed me, as we're going to be maybe a little bit more isolated. This is a good time to really grow. How can we grow individually as believers? And even though we might be apart more, we each benefit from each other's growth. And so thinking of ways, man, I don't want to just veg out and play video games, watch Netflix. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that, but maybe let's try to think, how could we be strategic in the way that we spend our time? Maybe for you it's going to be reading books on apologetics, or maybe it's going to be, hey, I want to really study this certain issue. For me, I love listening to podcasts, and like I said earlier, there's many pastors who have helped shape my understanding of the scripture. Just to give you a few recommendations, I like Tim Keller from Redeemer Presbyterian Church, Matt Chandler from The Village Church, Britt Merrick from Reality Carpinteria, Tim Chaddick from Reality London, and H.B. Charles from Shiloh Church. He's got some soul. So these are just some guys like, man, if you're at home alone or if you're just going about your day, these would be good guys to check out. The temptation for us in this season is going to be to just hunker down, hoard, and isolate. That's going to be the temptation. I mean, you look on the news and it's like, it's crazy. I see different stories every day. People loaded up with, toilet paper, just going nuts. Sanitizer, some dude driving throughout the U.S. collecting, 17,000 bottles of sanitizer, trying to sell them up at a greater price. There's a lot of different things that people are doing, and even in our city as well. People, we can tend to go to the extreme. I just want to call us just to really trust the Lord in this season. This is a season to really trust the Lord, and that doesn't mean that you don't take precautionary measures, but it just means that you're not operating from a place of fear, but from a place of faith. Okay? There's going to be many of us that will be spending more time at home. We might feel isolated, we might feel alone, but we've got to understand that what the scripture says is that we're never alone, that God is always with us, that we are still connected even though we're not gathering together. And so just because we'll be isolated does not mean that we have to be disengaged. Let's seek to be intentional as a church in this season. It's very unique. We have to get creative with how we reach out and how we minister to each other. It might be out of our comfort zone, but it's going to be worth it. And this is what Scripture calls us to. It encourages us to meet together daily, to keep tabs on each other, to say, hey man, how are you doing? Hey sister, how is it going? Can I pray for you? Do you need anything? For the older members in the congregation, maybe that looks like, hey, can we bring you some food? Is there anything you need from the store? How can we think about others and not just ourselves in this season? I was reminded of this the other day when my wife started talking about, hey, how can we be a blessing to our neighbors? And I'm thinking, man, we got to get some more food. I'm like, I'm not like extreme, but I'm like, we should get some, we should get some things because people are buying it all, man. I want to be able to have something when we need it. And she's like, we should think about maybe getting some things for some other people. And so it was just interesting because we're kind of like talking about it. And then all of a sudden we hear a neighbor say, hey, she's out there. She's like, you know what? I could really use some paper towels, My wife's like, all right, that's it. I'm getting paper towels for her. And I just thought, man, that's so different. It's such a different way of thinking, even for me. When it comes to when there's a crisis, people usually look to themselves and their own families. But I think the heart of Christ is really to look outward and say, hey, people are searching right now. They're looking for answers. And I think in the next few weeks, people are going to be hard-pressed. They're going to be looking for hope. And the thing that we have as believers is we do have hope. We have a living hope, as we've been looking at through 1 Peter. This is a living hope through the resurrection of Christ, through what Jesus has done for us. We can boldly step into this moment. We can be his witnesses. Be wise, but don't be fearful. Know that your God is with you. We can reach out to people on social media. We can call people up, text people, check in. There's different ways we can be the body of Christ in this season. It's going to take us being creative, but I believe by the grace of God, we can do it. Something that I want us to take to heart in this season, and we've kind of been hitting on it, but it's this. It's as we think about what the gospel is, what is the goal of the gospel? Like, what is the message of Jesus all about? The goal of the gospel is not self-preservation. Or your health, or your physical safety. Those are not the highest goals of the gospel. The highest goal of the gospel is the glory of God. And I think we've got to understand this in our culture because what we truly believe, it comes to the forefront when there's a crisis. And the way that we act and the way that we carry ourselves, the world is watching, and we might think we have faith, and then we start becoming exposed and we start freaking out. And I think the Lord is challenging many of us to say, hey, what do you really believe? What is your life really about? What are your true values? And I think this is a time for God to help refine our values and say, okay, Lord, we want to live for you and your kingdom. This might look like me taking a risk. It might look like me reaching out to my neighbors. But in the history of the church has risen up in times of crisis. It was the Christians who are the ones who reach out and say, hey, we want to help people who are sick. We're not hunkering down. We're seeking to bless. We're seeking to serve. And I think we really need the Lord to really change our hearts in this way. And I think this season is a great time for God to do that. I want to turn to Psalm 46. We spent a lot of time speaking about the first half of just how we're preparing as a church, but I want to look at the Word. Psalm 46, and just encourage us with a few things. Psalm 46, it says in verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. And the first thing the psalmist is going to say here, it almost seems like he's in a situation of crisis. He's making these confident declarations about who God is and how he wants to respond in light of who God is. And there's been different thoughts on what the situation is, but it's clear that the psalmist is saying, hey, you know what? In times of crisis, we've got to remember who our God is. Verses 1 through 5, remember who your God is. In times of trouble, remember who your God is. He says, God is our refuge. God is our strength. He's the place that we go to when life is falling apart, and when life is good, but oftentimes we find ourselves, it's when things are hitting the fan, that's when we look for refuge. And we find that refuge in who God is. And when we feel weak, the gospel's not about us just being strong, it's about us going to God for his strength. He's the one who says, man, in your weakness, I want to give you my strength. This is God's strength, not your strength. He's a very present help in trouble. This is good news for a world that's looking for answers. This is good news for us as a church, that God is a very present help in trouble, in our time of need. As we're spending more time at home and maybe away from the usual things we do, I think this is just a good thing to remember, and that God is with us. God desires to help us. He's present with us in the trouble. He's with us in the process, and he's doing something in the process, and he's conforming us more to the image of his Son. And because of who God is, the psalmist says in verse 2, we will not fear. He's declaring this, like, you know what, when I think about who God is, and I think about the fact that God is sovereign over all things, this is the only response. Right? Like, how could we fear if God is with us? This echoes what the psalmist says in Psalm 23, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. If God is with you, you have nothing to fear. If God is your shepherd, you have everything you need. And I think God wants to show us that in this season, that God is really all we need. Many of the distractions, the things that pull us away, many of these things are being taken from us. Like, I love the NBA. I hear the NBA shutting down. I'm like, oh man, what am I going to do? That's a great opportunity to spend time with God. There's so many things that are being shut down. Life is almost on pause. Our lives are going to look a little bit different. We can see this as a big obstacle, or we could see this as an opportunity to really press into God, to say, Lord, wow, I have been distracted. I am more distracted than I realize. For us to come back to our first love. Psalmist says, we won't fear, even though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Even if the stock market completely tanks, we will not fear. Even if I lose my job, we will not fear. Even if I don't know how things are going to turn out in a month, in 2 months. We will not fear Even if the worst thing possible happens, we won't fear because God is our refuge and our strength. And then in the second thing I want to see in verse 7 and 11, he repeats this verse, but he says, remember that God is with you. Remember that God is with you. And we've been talking about that, but he reiterates that point, and he repeats it in verse 7 and 11. He says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And in the Bible, it's interesting because we see that many of the things that we have in Scripture are repeated. Right? Like, it's not all new information. A lot of the information we have in Scripture are things that have been repeated by God multiple times. And in this psalm, even this is repeated twice. And I think the reason why is because God understands that we're slow to believe these things. We're slow to receive these truths. It's not that we don't hear it enough. It's that we're not allowing it to really enter into our hearts, to really affect the way that we live. And so we need to preach this truth to ourselves until we believe it. Say, Lord, help me to believe this, that you're with me in the darkest days, that you're with me when I'm confused and when I'm lost and when I'm lonely, that you are with me, that you'll never leave me and you'll never forsake me. And ultimately, he's shown us this in the sending of his son. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus Christ coming to our world, taking on flesh and blood, living among us. He ministered to the sick. He healed the lame. He opened the eyes of the blind. This Jesus lived among us. He lived a perfect life. He died the death that we deserve. He's expressed this to us and said, hey, I am showing you. I'm not just telling you that I'm God with you. I'm actually showing you that I'm God with you. I'm going to enter your broken world. He could have stayed up in heaven. He could have just hoarded his resources. But he says, no, I'm going to leave the glory of heaven and I'm going to enter into a situation that's dangerous and I'm going to minister to people who need me. I'm going to minister to people because they need salvation. This is the love that we need to remind ourselves of, that the love of Christ will compel us to walk not from a place of fear, but from a place of faith. That if Jesus could come to us, that we can minister to our neighbors, we can have that same heart for people that Jesus has for us. He conquered sin, he conquered death, he conquered the devil, he rendered death ineffective. One day we'll be with him. He took the sting out of death. He killed death at the cross through his death and through his resurrection. He removes the fear of death. And so for you and I, as children of God, we have nothing left to fear. And many people are looking to us and saying, what do they really believe? What they really believe will come out in this season. And people are starting to ask. And this is what Peter would say in 1 Peter chapter 3 that we've been looking at. But he says that we're to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that we have, with meekness and fear, with gentleness and respect. Always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks of you a reason for the hope that you have. And this is what we're going to be experiencing in these times, that we need to be ready to give an answer for this hope that you and I have. The world needs hope. May God give us hearts that long for people to come into his kingdom. In verses 8 and 9, we see that we're to remember God's power. Remember God's power. Look at verse 8 and 9 with me. It says, come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Look at what it says there in verse 8. Come and behold God's work. To understand God's power, you must understand his works. You must take time to look at how he's worked in your life. You've got to remember his track record. He's been completely faithful. There's never been a moment where he hasn't been faithful. And he will continue this. And we look at God's power, we say, wow, God is powerful. God is able to work for us. He's worked and he's come through for us in the past. He will come through for us in the present. And we'll be confident that he'll come through for us in the future. And the fact that God is powerful, that's something that we, I think, understand. But I think the implications of that, sometimes we don't really get. If God is all-powerful, and if God calls us to pray as his people, then that means, as James would say, that the prayer of a righteous man avails much. That means that there's some type of disconnect in our minds. We understand that God's powerful, but oftentimes we don't want to pray because I think we really don't believe, truly believe in God's power. Because the scripture says that yes, God is powerful, but yet God answers when we pray. God unleashes his power when his people pray. And sometimes we have this over-realized idea of God's sovereignty. Okay, God's going to do whatever he wants to do so we can do whatever we want to do and he'll work it out. And the Bible's saying, no, we need to understand that, yes, God is sovereign over all things, but the way that he's chosen to work is not, it's through prayer, it's through his people. And so as a people of God, we need to heed the commands of Scripture. When the Scripture calls us and says, hey, if you would but pray, I would move. I would do a powerful work in your midst. Again, the only meeting we're having for these next few weeks is the prayer meeting. This is what I would encourage you with. If you feel comfortable, if you don't, that's fine. But if you feel comfortable, we would love to have you there praying with us. 7:30 at the church. This is a great way that we can position ourselves to say, Lord, we want to see you move in our generation. We want to see you move in our city. We want to see you move in our friends and family who don't know you. And this could be the thing that causes people to come to Christ. And I think really revival starts with us. It starts with the church. Lord, revive our hearts. God moves in powerful ways, and God moves through prayer, and he's calling us to seek him. And the last thing I would say in verse 10 is that we're to allow this season to bring us into a deeper relationship with God. Allow this season to bring you into a deeper relationship with God. Notice what he says in verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The psalmist here says, hey, calm down. Don't freak out. Step out of the frenzy and into the quiet place. Be still and know that I am God. Take time to get alone with God. It's possible to be in a place of isolation and yet still not take that time to be with God. There are so many things that we could turn to, even in our own home. And I think God is calling us and saying, hey, I want to allow this season to really bring depth to our relationship. Know in your heart of hearts that God is God, that he's sovereign, that he's powerful, that he's loving, that he's working all things together for good to those who love him. That the coronavirus was not something that God's like, oh man, did not see that coming. It's like he had perfect understanding of exactly what's happening right now. And he wants to bring us into this place of saying, Lord, I want to be still. I want to take time to know you, to know that you're God. And notice what it says in the rest of the verse. He will be exalted. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Again, this is the end goal of the gospel. God's glory, God's exaltation, and that's why we lift high the name of Jesus. Whether things are going good or times are tough, we say, Lord, my life is about you being glorified. Paul would say that. Hey, my life's all about Jesus. Whether that's through life or through death, it's all about God being glorified. And so I pray that we would have hearts that seek God in this time, that we wouldn't waste this opportunity, but that we would press in, that we get creative, that we love each other well, that we'd reach out to those who are most vulnerable in our society, in our community. I pray that the gospel would really wash over us. And that if we've lost our first love, if we've become weighed down with the cares and the pleasures of the world, if we're stressing, I pray that God would lift off those heavy burdens, that we would experience his peace, and that he would give us grace to be his witnesses in this generation. Let's pray.